Chapter 15. By the end of the second practice, I had to admit that Ryan had been right. Valerie and I were partners whenever possible during practices and having a blast. In fact, the whole team was having a great time and we were even making a little progress. The girls were trying to teach us a quick, easy Mexican number, and we were desperately trying to educate them about shooting pucks, stick handling, and staying onside. "They're actually pretty good skaters," Neil noted over lunch one day. "But boy, they've got hands of lead." "I know," agreed Justin. "Every time Brenda's stick touched the puck, the two-part accompany. I think we're going to have to resort to crazy glue."
"Did you see Jennifer's shot?" asked Pete. "The one from the top of the goal crease that ended up behind her?" asked Red. "It was almost as good as Kate's."
"At least hers went in," I noted.
"Yeah, but only because she kicked it in."
"Personally, I think we should take their sticks away from them and let them play with their feet," said Ryan. He rubbed a cut above his eyebrow. "They're downright dangerous with those things."
Jordy joined us at the table. "Hey guys, guess what? I just heard that Knowles will be back for tonight's practice."
We hammered the table.
"Great," exclaimed Jared. "At least Turnbull held us in there without any losses," said Tony.
"No, the stuff held us in there," whispered Adrian, "and it's going to take us to the city champs, too."
I looked away. Ryan pushed his chair abruptly back from the table.
"Gotta go," he said.
"What's wrong with him?" asked Scott. I shrugged, but inside me I had this terrible feeling that I knew. Ryan wasn't keen on me supplying the guys. I watched him take the stairs two at a time, and it wasn't really at all surprising, not with his history with his mom at all. I looked at my watch. February 4th. I had 10 days.
Knowles was into making up for lost time, and he worked as hard.
I was wiped by the end of the week as Ryan and I walked out to the bus stop.
"You coming to the meeting tonight?" I asked.
Ryan stiffened up.
"No," he said. "I'm going to see Mom instead. I haven't seen her much this week."
"How's she doing?"
"Good. She seems to know us more these days, but she still doesn't talk to anybody."
"It's a start."
"Yeah." He kicked violently at some frozen snow in front of us. "At least the doctors seem to know what they're doing. Fooling around with drugs and not knowing what they might do in long term is pretty risky." He eyed me as Neil and Dave caught up with us. That sinking feeling took hold of me again.
I didn't offer Ryan any stuff for a game that weekend, and he didn't ask. It didn't seem to affect Ryan's game. He got 2 goals, Theo got 1, and we walked away with a 3-0 win over the Blades.
Knowles was busy planning our futures. "I'm going to have to cancel Thursday's practice this week," he told us after the game. "I'll be away on business. But I've managed to get some nice time at Renfrew right after school on Wednesday." Our heads snapped up and we looked around the room. That was the same time as our synchronized skating practice. "But that's our practice for..." "Ouch," muttered Neil as Dave kicked him in the shins. We stared hard at him.
"We can't make it that night," said Scott finally.
"We?" asked Knowles. "How many of you can't be there?"
Slowly our hands went up, one after the other.
"All of you?" asked Knowles suspiciously. "What's going on?" Neil cleared his throat. "We've got to practice this thing." He looked around desperately. "With a bunch of kids from school," added Adrian, trying not to lie. Knowles frowned. "Practice for what?"
It's a presentation," began Scott.
"For the parents," I added quickly.
Knowles studied us curiously.
"All right," he said finally. "Then I want everyone at the early morning skate on Thursday. We'll use it as practice time."
We let out a collective sigh of relief.
"Sure, sure," we muttered and filed out the door.
"Neil almost let the cat out of the bag tonight," I told Lees after we dropped Ryan off. "He just about told Coach Knowles about the synchronized skating sessions."
"Uh-oh.
I'm not sure he'd go for that. I think he'd be worried that you guys might not be so focused on your hockey."
Lees was right. Knowles didn't know anything about our synchronized skating rehearsals, but he certainly thought we were losing our focus.
We heard about it at Thursday's early morning practice.
"Knowles has a point," said Ryan as we walked down the road to school. "We've got to stay focused if we're going to beat the Cadillacs, especially if we're going to play well in Denver."
Theo poked Tony in the ribs. "No more fancy 360s in warm-up. You're going to give us away for sure."
We laughed. "Remember, we're just trading our jerseys for dresses once, not on a regular basis."
"I can hardly wait," moaned Carl. "Tonight was the night we got our costumes."
Lees and some of the other parents had been busy altering them.
"Have you seen them, Switzen?" asked Red.
"No, but Lee says they're colorful and revealing."
"If Lee thinks they're colorful, we're really in trouble," groaned Ryan.
"Oh," shrieked Neil in a high-pitched voice as we turned to the schoolyard. "I'm so excited."
In fact, we were all pretty excited. So excited that we even joined Valerie and a couple of the other girls from the team for lunch. That suited me just fine, and I even managed to sit beside her.
"What color are they?" quizzed Pete.
All different colors. Reds, greens, orange, blues, pinks. Oh, I hope I get pink, cooed James. It's my absolute favorite. Red smoothed back his long mane of hair. Well, personally, I think I'm an autumn. Orange or green, please. Simone laughed. And they're low cut. Pete held his chin in his hands and rolled his eyes to the ceiling. I hope my bra strap doesn't show, he said. Carl groaned and put his head down on the table. And they're skin tight, noted Valerie. You mean everyone's going to see my chest? Asked Scott, pretending to be nervous. I looked at Scott and his well-developed pectorals. He didn't have anything to be worried about. Are you serious? I asked Valerie in a whisper. Yes, she whispered back. Do we have to wear those pantyhose things? As Tony suddenly, Simone's drink went down the wrong way and Valerie had to hit her on the back. They're called pantyhose, Simone explained, still coughing. But I think we had to wear fishnet stockings for that number, didn't we? Valerie nodded as we erupted into a chorus of groans and feathers in our hair. I'd rather die, complained Carl as the bell rang. Well, I can hardly wait, shrieked Pete. It was true. We could hardly wait and we were all in great spirits, with all the possible exception of Carl, when we arrived at the rink. A couple of moms arrived carrying hangers full of costumes and deposited them in the dressing room. There would be time for costumes at the end of practice, but first, Carol was intent on making sure we knew what we were doing on the ice.
Now, we've only got a few practices left, guys, and we don't want you looking like fools out there, she told us. Somehow, I think that's a given, muttered Carl. We're going to go through it piece by piece with the music today. The girls will help you in your groups. Then, hopefully, we'll be ready to try it all together.
Carol picked up the tape.
Remember, it's a Mexican number. It's snappy and quick, terse and short, so let's keep it that way. We split into our groups and worked hard. There were five basic sequences to remember. A diamond block, a diagonal line, a V intersection, concentric circles, and a three-spoke. Each one consisted of different holds and footwork sequences, and it took a lot of hard work and concentration to pull it off. All right, shouted Carol as the music stopped. We still have to work on straightening out those lines, but it's coming. We'll have to tighten up that up next practice. She smiled at us. Now, I think the moms want to see the fellows for outfitting. Girls, you're free to go. Lise gave us each an outfit and told us to come out for a fitting inspection when we were ready. Inside the dressing room, we stood looking at our dresses.
This is nuts, complained Carl. I'm not putting this on. Ryan figured his neon green outfit. They're kind of bright.
Nobody's going to miss us, that's for sure, said Jared, eyeing his own fluorescent orange dress.
Well, said Scott, taking his off the hanger, might as well get it over with. He struggled into his dress while the rest of us took ours reluctantly off the hangers.
Are these ever tight? Muttered Scott, trying to pull up the shoulders.
There, he stood in the center of the dressing room in his teal dress, and it was much too much for the rest of us. We erupted into fits of laughter, collapsed on the benches, and rolled on the floor.
How's it going in there? Asked Lise's voice from the door.
Just fine, sang out Neil. We'll be out in a second.
Scott studied his image in the mirror while Adrian walked around him.
They weren't kidding when they said they were low-cut, he observed. I can see your navel. Scott pulled his spandex top up. I'd like to see the girls in these, he commented, smoothing down the hair on his chest and doing up the small silky rope button under his chin.
Yeah, we all agreed as we struggled into our dresses. We'd definitely like to see the girls in these. About 10 minutes later, we were all outfitted and ready to go.
I can hardly breathe, muttered Theo, tugging at his dress. How am I supposed to skate?
How are you doing, boys? Asked Lise's voice again. Come on out when you're done and we'll see if we need to make any alterations.
Jared twirled in front of the mirror. Don't you just love the way these skirts flare? He said, pushing one hip out seductively.
A couple of the guys tried a few quick twirls, and their skirts swirling high around their waist.
Carl slapped his forehead with his palms.
Let's go, guys, advised Neil.
Please.
Come on, urged Neil. He maneuvered his way out the door and thrust his head out.
You first, he said, suddenly pushing Adrian out the front.
After you, said Adrian, shoving Tony in front of him.
Ladies first, grinned Tony, giving Pete a nudge.
I'll go first, announced Scott.
He strode to the front of the line and peeked out the corner.
The girls are still here, he whispered, ducking back in.
Oh no, we moaned.
Pete stuck his head around the corner. Then there's only one thing to do. We'll have a parade. And shoving Scott aside, he marched out of the dressing room.
We followed, marching in a long line, clear down the lobby and around it twice before Pete called a halt.
The girls were all howling and clapping by the time we'd stopped.
Valerie made her way to me. You've all, she managed between gasps of laughter, you've all got them on backwards.
I could feel the color
rise in my face and hear Ryan moan behind me as Taryn imparted the same information to him. "Listen up, boys, please," called Lise, trying to gain control of her laughter. "You do indeed all have the dresses on backwards." "But I like it," announced Carol. "Let them show a little hairy cleavage." The girls agreed and we relaxed. Carol surveyed the group of us. "Besides, you'll look much better in fishnet stockings," she glanced at Lise. "I'll let you moms check for alterations and the girls can give out the feathers." The girls disappeared onto the bleachers and came back with huge feathers of matching colors. "How are we supposed to keep these on?" asked James, running a hand over his buzz cut. "You'll need a headband, James," advised Carol. "The rest of you might manage with combs and bobby pins." I winced as Valerie stabbed my head with a bobby pin. "Easy, eh?" She smiled. "I need to put another one in the front, and then it should hold." I looked down at the curves of her hips as her hair fell forward onto my shoulders and fought an urge to wrap my arms around her. Instead, I caught her hand as she stepped back. "Thanks," I said, bouncing my feather back and forth. She gave me a radiant smile. "You look terrific. Red suits you." The girls will go over makeup later this. We burst into exclamations. "Makeup?" echoed Carl. I remember Valerie's face the day I'd run into her in the corridor. "We'll go over that next time we meet," announced Carol. "Please, leave your costumes with me or give them to Lise if they need to be altered. And guys, remember your equipment next time, please." This time, the girls groaned. "I've got to go," said Valerie, glancing into the parking lot. "I'll see you at school tomorrow," she grinned at me. "You look terrific, really," she added before bursting into laughter. "Yeah, well, I can't wait to see you in my hockey equipment," I called after her.